Well, I've been your pastor for almost 14 years now, and there's one thing, at the very least, you should know about me by now. I drink a lot of water during the church services. I can't help it. All the talking I do strains my throat, so I have to keep it hydrated. Now, of course, this shouldn't surprise you, because we all need water to survive. We can go without food for several days, but if we stop drinking water or any other liquid containing water, we won't last long. Our bodies need water on a regular basis if we are to survive. Without water, we're in huge trouble. However, as important as water is, there's something you need far more than physical water. You need to drink living water. Now, what is this living water I'm talking about? Well, let's examine our gospel reading for today, and we will find out. Last Sunday's sermon was based on the first 31 verses of John chapter 7, and in today's gospel reading, it picks up where we left off last Sunday. In today's gospel reading, we see that Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Festival of Tabernacles. And as we learned last Sunday, the Jewish leaders and many others in the crowd refused to accept Jesus and his teaching. But there were some who were willing to give Jesus the benefit of the doubt because of all the miracles that he was doing. Well, the Jewish leaders didn't want Jesus to win over any more people, so they sent the temple guards to arrest him. At this point, here's what Jesus says to all the Jews. I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Now, the Jews didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And because most of them didn't trust Jesus, they didn't bother to go to Jesus to ask him to clarify himself. So, what did Jesus mean when he spoke those words? Well, simply put, Jesus wasn't going to preach and teach on this earth forever. After his death and resurrection, which was coming soon, he would eventually ascend back to his Father to reign over the entire universe until his second coming. Now, Jesus says that the Jews will look for him, but they will not find him. What does that mean? Well, after Jesus rises from the dead, the Jewish leaders hear that many have seen Jesus alive. They don't want that to be true, of course. So they go to the tomb, and they don't find his body. The tomb was empty. Jesus then says that where he is, they cannot come. Now, what does that mean? Well, later on in John's gospel, Jesus says this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Simply put, as long as these Jews refuse to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will not be able to live forever with the Father in heaven. Next, we're told that on the last day of the festival, Jesus stands up in front of all the people, and in a loud voice, he says, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. What does Jesus mean by that? Well, first of all, we need to understand some of the details about the Festival of Tabernacles if we're to understand why Jesus speaks the way he does. Simply put, each morning during this festival, a priest processed from the temple to a fountain of water known as Silo, and he would carry a golden pitcher. He would take this golden pitcher dip it in the fountain, and then process back to the temple with this pitcher of water. And when he got to the temple, as the crowds were watching, he would ceremoniously pour this water over the sacrificial altar. And as the priest was doing all this, the people would recite a passage from Isaiah chapter 12, which, by the way, we heard in our Old Testament reading. Here's the passage they recited. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, why did they do this? Well, this ceremony commemorated the time in Israel's history when God caused water to pour out of the rock in the desert so that the people would not die of thirst. They were commemorating that gracious miracle. But now, Jesus is in their midst trying to help them understand that they need something even more than physical water. They need Jesus. They need the salvation only He can give. That's why He says in the midst of this ceremony, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." Now, John's Gospel then tells us that when Jesus talked about living water, He was actually referring to the Holy Spirit, who works through God's Word to convict us of sin and then bring us to faith in Jesus as our Savior. But how are we to understand the next comment? The comment that up to this point in history, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. How are we supposed to understand that? Well, first, this does not mean that the Holy Spirit was not active in this world or in people's lives up to that point. It doesn't mean that. In fact, we find the Holy Spirit at work in the world already in Genesis chapter 1. In fact, He's mentioned all the way through the Old Testament. In fact, in Psalm 51, David says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." So obviously, the Holy Spirit's involved in David's lives. In addition, we find the Holy Spirit in the New Testament when He is with John the Baptizer, even in the womb, and when He conceives the Son of God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Even more, we know from Scripture that people can't even believe in God unless the Holy Spirit gives them a new heart of repentance and faith. So then, if that's true, then what does our gospel reading mean when it says that up to that point the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified? Well, what this means is that the Spirit had not yet been given in a special way that He would be given when? On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus ascends to heaven. You see, the same Holy Spirit that was already active in the world, He would give evidence of Himself in a special and public way on the day of Pentecost. Now, with that said, how did the crowds respond to Jesus' words? He's making it very clear, "Come to Me and drink. If you trust in Me, you will live." There's another example of where Jesus is claiming to be God. Did you notice? He doesn't say, "I'm here to tell you to trust in God," although Jesus did want them to trust in His Father. But Jesus actually says in today's gospel reading, "I want you to trust in Me. If you trust in Me, you will live." By saying that, Jesus is making it clear that He is God. So how do the crowds respond? Well, they understood what Jesus meant. They understood that He was asking them to quench their spiritual thirst by trusting in Him as their Lord and Savior. But sadly, most of the people weren't ready to do that. Oh, some of them called Him the prophet. Others called Him the Messiah. Still others hated Him. But none of them were ready to fall on their knees and call Him God and Savior. As we heard in our gospel reading, people had various opinions about Jesus. But they were all wrong because they did not know the scriptures, nor were they willing to believe what Jesus was actually saying about himself. Even though Jesus himself was saying, I am God, they wouldn't accept that. In the same way, there are many people today who have erroneous opinions about Jesus, either because they haven't taken the time to study the Bible, or they have studied the Bible, but they don't want to believe what Jesus says about himself. In today's gospel reading, we learn that some would not believe in Jesus because they had been taught that the promised Savior would come from Bethlehem and not from Galilee. And you know what? They were right about that. The only problem is they didn't bother to ask Jesus where he had been born. If they had asked Jesus where he had been born, he would have told them Bethlehem, the town of David. And then they would have known that Jesus fulfilled Scripture. He was the promised Messiah, born in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah teaches. In any case, the guards who had been sent to arrest Jesus end up not arresting him because they are so impressed with Jesus' teaching. Well, this makes the Jewish leaders very upset. But did you notice? One of their own, a man named Nicodemus, says the following. Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? In other words, Nicodemus is reminding them that they really don't have any evidence that Jesus is lying. They really don't have any evidence that he's committed any crime. And you know what? That isn't going to change. Even when they turn him over to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, Pilate himself has to say, I find no wrong in this man. He's innocent. By the way, this is the same Nicodemus we learned about back in John chapter 3. Remember that? Where it tells us about a conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus. And where Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again of water and the Spirit. Pointing to God's gift of holy baptism. The living water of God which he uses to give us the blessings of Jesus. Well, sadly, most of the Jewish leaders won't give Jesus a chance. Why? It's not because they don't understand Jesus. It's because they do. They don't like what he's teaching. They don't like the fact that he's calling all of them sinners and that he is the Lamb of God who can take away their sin. They don't like the fact that he's claiming to be God himself, the Lord and Savior. Because they don't like his teaching, they reject him. This takes us back to the beginning of my sermon. We all need water to survive. But there is something we need far, far more than physical water. We desperately need Jesus. We need to realize that we are sinners and that our spiritual thirst can be quenched only by living water. That is, our spiritual thirst can be quenched only when the Holy Spirit, who works through God's Word, convicts us of sin and brings us to faith in Jesus, our Savior, from sin, death, and hell. For example, in Matthew's Gospel, we hear these words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what Jesus says there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What does that mean? Simply put, if you hunger and thirst for the mercy and love that only Jesus can give you, then you will be filled with God's mercy and love through faith in Jesus. Here's another example. Back in John chapter 6, we heard these words of Jesus. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What Jesus means is that if we hunger and thirst for God and the forgiveness and love and life that only He can give us, then we will be satisfied. Here's the problem. If we resist the Holy Spirit, who uses God's word to expose our sin and our need for Jesus, if we refuse to believe that we're sinners whose only hope is God's Son who died in our place of damnation and conquered death for us, if we do not hunger and thirst for the mercy and love that only Jesus can give us, then sadly, we will remain spiritually parched for all eternity. But my friends, God does not want that to happen to anybody. That's why Jesus showed up at the festival and preached to the people. He wanted them to repent and trust in Him. That's why Jesus told them that the same God who gave their ancestors water in the desert is the same God who has now given them His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life with God. And so today, Jesus is using me to say to you, drink living water. Jesus wants you to come to Him with your sins and your fear of death, so He can give you forgiveness and the hope of the resurrection and eternal life with the God who loves you. So my friends, if you thirst for God's forgiveness, if you thirst for God's love, if you thirst for eternal life with God, then you are blessed. Because Jesus is your Lord and Savior who has quenched your spiritual thirst with His forgiveness, love, and life. In closing, I'd like to read for you the second stanza of our sermon hymn. See the holy city. There they enter in, all by Christ made holy, washed from every sin. Thirsty ones, desiring all He loves to give, come for living water, freely drink and live. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.